We need to be comfortable with experimentation, trying things out, following where the data lead us, and then iterating based on what it tells us.
I'm J.B. Wogan from Mathematica, and welcome to On the Evidence, a show that examines what we know about today's most urgent challenges and how we can make progress in addressing them. My guest today is John McKay, a data analytics lead in the Human Services Division at Mathematica, though I sometimes think of your made-up title in my head as Innovation and Evidence Guy at Mathematica. We could talk a little bit more about that.
I like that one a lot better.
This summer, John, you wrote an issue brief about how local government employees in Adams County used research-informed practices to improve services and generate new evidence about what works. Specifically, the county staff managed to get parents on a family cash assistance program to attend workforce orientations and meetings with their case managers at a higher rate. We'll get into how they did that. The issue brief is part of a larger project at Mathematica called LI Squared, which we'll also discuss. John, thank you for coming today.
Glad to be with you.
For listeners who aren't familiar with Adams County, where is it and what's it like?
So Adams County is in the Denver metropolitan area in Colorado. It is one of the largest counties in terms of public assistance caseloads, particularly for the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program. It's suburban for the most part, but it certainly has its high share of poverty and of issues that they're dealing with there. And I think because of the gentrification that's ongoing in the Denver metro area, many of those who can't afford to live in Denver proper have been pushed out into the outskirts of the metro area, which certainly includes Adams County. So they I think, are dealing with some of the housing crisis and the affordability issues that Denver's experiencing across the board.
And how did you end up working with Adams County?
So Mathematica has had the good fortune to be working with the Colorado Department of Human Services and quite a few county agencies in the state for 4 years now. So it's a state and a community that we're fairly familiar with. And as a part of our work with the State Human Services Agency, we've had the opportunity to focus in on work with select counties each of those 4 years.
So one of the tools that you were teaching or sharing with the folks in Adams County is this thing, LI Squared. In layman's terms, tell me what that is.
So LI Squared stands for Learn, Innovate, Improve. And the simplest way to put it is it's a change management process. It's a way of thinking about how do I, as a program leader or someone responsible for service delivery, how do I undertake change in a systematic and analytic way? So as the name suggests, there are three stages, and each of those stages has a series of collaborative activities in which researchers and practitioners are partnering together to design, implement, and test changes.
Okay. So you have this process that you're sharing with county staff, and they could apply it to a range of issues. In Adams County, in this division, Adams Works, what were they trying to improve?
So specifically, they were trying to improve upfront engagement in the program. So the way that the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program works is that someone walks into a human services office, they apply for cash assistance, and as a condition of receiving that cash assistance grant to the family, the parent or parents in the household have to engage with employment services provider. And they have to meet certain participation requirements to maintain their eligibility for those benefits over a period of time. And because of the way that eligibility is handled separately from the employment services provider, there is a bit of a disconnect in the sense that a parent walks in, is approved for their cash assistance, and leaves that office perhaps thinking that that's all there was to it. And the employment services provider is mandated and authorized to engage the participant. And if they do not engage in those employment services that are required as a condition of the cash assistance, then they have the authority to close that case, to revoke the benefits until the parent complies with those requirements. So that was the crux of the issue in Adams County, was that there are approximately 50% of the parents who walk through the door and are approved for cash assistance that ultimately do not engage with the employment services provider. And that results in a revocation of benefits for the family, a lot of administrative burden for the program because they have to then walk through the sanction or case closure process to terminate those benefits, which uses a lot of time and resources.
Okay. And you mentioned that Adams County is a place where you may be seeing an influx of people who couldn't afford to live in Denver proper anymore. But can you tell me anything more about the economic situation of the people that are on this program who are trying to access benefits?
I would say that a way to characterize it is these families are definitely on the lowest end of the income spectrum and are quite vulnerable to even the slightest adjustments in the resources that they have.
So in Adams County, what intervention did you guys end up identifying and how did you go about trying it out?
So we spent some time with a select group of staff from Adams Works at a two-day workshop. And that the focus of that workshop was the innovate phase, which is to say, what have we learned from the learn phase? What do we know about the problem that exists? What the potential changes could be and how they would fit in the environment? And then to spend some time really reflecting on what does the evidence base tell us about engagement strategies, about helping people to overcome challenges and obstacles and barriers to engage in these types of programs. I would say about half of the time spent in that innovation workshop was considering what we already know, what is the research and the evidence and the social science theory and the behavioral science theory tell us about how to effectively engage people. And then the second half is really, okay, now let's apply all of that knowledge and existing evidence in the context of Adams County and the problem that you are trying to address. What have you tried before? What might work? Why would that work? And so we use a variety of, again, design thinking strategies to tap into the creative process with the people in the room to generate fresh ideas based on what we've shared from the knowledge base. And so we use this road mapping exercise where we really try to concretely map out what are the outcomes, right? So what would success look like in measurable terms? What are the strategies that we're proposing to get us there? And then in the middle, this is, I think, really the crux of it, articulating the causal link between those two things. So what, based on those strategies that we've articulated, is going to result, cause those measurable real-world outcomes? And so we call those targets for change, right? These are things very proximal, very near-term that happen within individuals that cause them to engage in a program, show up to an orientation. So we're really trying to map out what needs to shift about people's attitudes, about their behaviors, about their skills, anything in that sort of behavioral realm that will lead to something measurable in terms of an engagement indicator. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I wanted to point out in the brief, there's this nice detail about some of the strategies that the county had tried before this intervention, and they mentioned the $100 incentive. So it's not as if they haven't been thinking about this or experimenting in the past. They just found that wasn't pushing the needle above 50%. So in Adams County, you tried personal phone calls made by the caseworkers, reminder phone calls before the first orientation, right? How did that work out?
We saw some pretty decent impacts on engagement rates, not only at the very first group orientation, but at the follow-up one-on-one meeting between the client and the case manager. In some ways, when you think about the literature and the broader field, that's surprising. Phone calls seem like a bit of an archaic way to get a hold of somebody and really engage them, to get them to walk through the door. So I think there are a couple things going on in Adams County, it maps back to the learn phase, which is one of the problems we uncovered was confusion. People simply are not understanding when they leave that eligibility interview with their benefits approval in hand that there is not only a requirement for sustained engagement with an employment service provider, but these mailings that you're getting about attending an orientation are directly linked to that. So there's a messaging problem, there's a communication problem, but people are generally confused. And so I think, based on what we learned from this experience, part of what made phone calls successful in Adams County was the fact that clients were receiving a personal outreach call from a lead worker within the agency 1 to 2 days before they needed to show up, not just to say, hey, JB, you're scheduled for orientation on Friday, you better be there. But to give more of a personal face to what's happening. Hi, I'm Haley. I'm the lead worker here at Adams Works. Wanted to let you know that you probably have received or will be receiving a letter in the mail telling you you need to attend this appointment or this orientation. Here's what that is. And here are the next steps in the process. Here's why you need to attend. It's a requirement, but here's what's going to happen. And if you have questions about childcare or transportation or some of those other key bottlenecks that are getting in the way of people attending, I can help you right now over the phone resolve those. So it was addressing that core issue of confusion, but it was also giving people an opportunity to name any barriers or obstacles they had to attending and to quickly resolve them over the phone. I mean, these calls were taking less than 5 minutes, but as the experiment showed, it really made a difference in moving from, you know, about 50% of people showing up to almost 2/3 of people showing up. And I think the story behind the numbers is that it really helped address that underlying confusion and uncertainty about what this is and why am I being required to show up to this thing.
So it worked in Adams County. And would it work everywhere else in Colorado? Do you have any experience of trying this out in other counties?
So that's a really good and interesting question. I think that the answer is simply, it absolutely would not work in other areas. It just really depends. The purpose of this was not to try something out and then to put out a findings brief that is generalizable to every context in Colorado or across the country. We had the opportunity to work with two other counties alongside Adams County to do their own innovation experiments. And I want to highlight the fact that one of those counties, Arapahoe County, there's a companion brief similar to the Adams one, and they found no impacts on their strategy. And the reason we published an equally long 4 pages brief about that experience was because we want to normalize this process of walking through a learn and innovate and an improve phase to try something out and to see if it works. And if it doesn't, that is okay. That is part of the process of program quality improvement, to say we were intentional in our design, it didn't work, and here are the lessons that we learned from that, and where do we go from here? And so I would encourage anybody who's looking at the Adams brief to also look at the Arapahoe County brief, because there's an equally important lesson there in failure that I think more so than the success of what Adams County was able to achieve in their engagement rates, programs need to be comfortable with the experience that Arapahoe County had. They didn't use the same strategy, but even still, right, that we need to be comfortable with experimentation, trying things out, following where the data lead us, and then iterating based on what it tells us.
Got it. And so the process may lead you to a context-specific solution that works in one jurisdiction, but maybe the process leads you to something else in another jurisdiction.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, if you sat down with our partners in Arapahoe County, they would tell you that they learned immensely from that 6 to 8 month process of experimentation. Again, this didn't take years. In fact, the whole experiment itself, not including the design work, was done in about 4 months. So we're not talking about a long period of time that you're wasting trying out something that doesn't work. There's quick actionable evidence here.
So an issue brief like the one in Adams County or Arapahoe County, who's your intended audience, and ideally, how would you like this to affect their work?
I would say the primary audience is probably the practice community, and particularly those who are in leadership positions in human services agencies, because I think the stories and the experiences of both Adams and Arapahoe counties are stories that we want those leaders to hear, and for it to resonate with them and for them to feel like this is something that I could use in my program or my agency as well, that this is a valuable process, that it is good for our staff and good for our clients to undertake change in this systematic and analytic way. That also contributes to the field, more knowledge about what's working and for whom and under what circumstances. I think it's really important to continue to be more nuanced about, quote unquote, what works, so that people understand the context. And that if, you know, somebody in Michigan picks up what they've done in Adams County, that they're thinking about, okay, that worked there, but why did it work? What can I learn from that, and how can I adapt it to Detroit or Kalamazoo or Grand Rapids or wherever?
Last question is, What's next? Do you have any more reports or briefs coming out, or what can we expect from LI Squared?
So we're using LI Squared in a lot of places all over the country, not just in Colorado. So we're using it in California and in Minnesota and in Michigan and Maryland and so on and so forth. Yeah, stay tuned for a lot more updates, a lot more briefs, and the occasional tweet.
Okay. I look forward to having you back here so we can talk about more stories from different jurisdictions and how they're using this. John, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks, JB.
If you want to follow John's work on human services, John is on Twitter at John McKay. That's JonMccay. In our show notes, I'll link to Mathematica's briefs on Adams County and Arapahoe County. And thanks for listening to On the Evidence, the Mathematica podcast. If you like what you hear, please find us on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and leave us a review. You can follow me on Twitter at JB Wogan.